this truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live, first time live show in our new studio. And in studio, we have Leslie Hanks, president of American Right to Life. Leslie, welcome back to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob. This is great.
Yes, we've got two news stories before we talk about our main topic, which is the takeover of the state of Mississippi by the States of Refuge tour this past week that you went to, and Cal Zastro, Flip Benham, so many great and wonderful friends and heroes.
Absolutely.
But our two updates, one has to do with Joe Scott.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yes, so good news. You want to share it with the audience? Our pro-life friend from Denver,
right,
who is just forever being attacked by pro-aborts.
Right.
And she has good news to report today.
Yes, Sidewalk Counselor Excelsior. She's been very much missed, but she's had a temporary restraining order against her, and I think today's court case or court hearing was to implement a permanent restraining order against,
right,
Joe Scott, and that was denied.
It was denied, and this has been, we've reported on this a number of times at Planned Parenthood. The security guard's wife has gone for a restraining order against Joe Scott, and so that was denied in court today. Very significant.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, related to that, there is a trial coming up.
Right.
And that trial is scheduled for December 9th,
mm-hmm,
downtown Denver. And so folks could come on out, of course. They could check online at kgov.com or maybe your blog to find out exactly when and what courtroom. But it'd be good to come on out and encourage Joe Scott by being there with her. That'd
oh
be
yes,
just great.
She would love it if people would come and pray for justice to prevail, because we know when we deal with Planned Parenthood, justice is typically not an element that we rely on. So,
mm-hmm. So then also, Leslie.
I was going to ask you, how did your trip go? You just got back from a trip to California.
Yeah, that's right.
We
went out
a memorial service for a dear friend.
Yeah, one of our longtime listeners, Dorothy Neville, what a story. Her family, they're a black family, large extended family, public school teachers in the family, quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the show by Googling, what does God say about the death penalty?
Oh, you know, no kidding.
For years, I've told people about, because we got on the internet so early, we staked out our territory at kgov.com.
Right.
That people find us all over the country and even around the world, and they learn about the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we have to fight for the innocent, and God made us male and female, and we didn't evolve from animals, and all these wonderful things. So they Googled about the death penalty.
And that pops up as number one, right?
We've been number one for over 10 years. We even beat out Antonin Scalia.
Ooh.
In an article he wrote on the same topic.
Fantastic.
So, Leslie, they saw just this wonderful article, because it's filled with New Testament verses,
mm-hmm,
in support of the death penalty. So they loved that, so they started tuning into the show. That was Johnny Hodge, mm-hmm, Dorothy's brother. And they started listening, and one of the first things they heard about was homeschooling. So you could imagine being a black family in Compton, California. That's like a L.A. suburb.
Right.
Not known to be a very
bed of
safe
homeschooling.
No, not at all. Yeah. No homeschooling on the radar. Not known to be a very safe city.
Right.
You know, a dangerous place, especially for your children's souls, for their eternal souls.
Absolutely.
And they started hearing about homeschooling, and they began to discuss it. And Dorothy Neville took her son, Matthew, and began homeschooling him. Johnny and his wife, Charlene, began homeschooling their son, Jared. Now they also homeschool their two younger kids. then it goes on and on. Whose sister, whose cousin? Public school teachers. Two parents were both teachers. They eventually pulled all five of their kids out of the public school system, and they're homeschooling their kids. And so we went, Cheryl and I went. There were about 100 people there. There were maybe a couple white faces in the room. It was a black memorial service. Mm-hmm. And we went there. We thought we were there to encourage them.
Right.
They were encouraging us.
Oh, that's so neat.
Everyone who spoke, Dorothy's family, the testimony for the Lord and her boldness in the gospel. And her son Matthew got up and said, I want to live my life as a legacy to my mother.
Aww.
And to her faith in Jesus Christ and how she was not ashamed. And then Johnny, this is humbling, and I think it'll encourage our audience. So it's a little embarrassing to repeat, but her son Matthew said there were two people that influenced them to start homeschooling. And it was Johnny Hodge, who we met through Google, mm-hmm. and the Bob and Yurt Live crew. And so, Leslie, we have said on the air for years that if we are consistent and warn people about the godless public schools, not everybody is going to respond, but enough people that lives will be changed forever. This is an entire extended family in California.
What an encouragement. See, yes. You have no idea how many people you've led to homeschooling.
Well,
I'm sure.
Well, that's true, because we've been saying this for 22 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
5 days a week on the air. I feel like I want to bang my head against a wall if I say it again. But the public schools are godless. What? You need to save your kids out of the public schools.
What is the number that you and Doug always say, what are we up to now, reasons to take your kids
reason
out?
Reason number 813, I think we're up to.
813, oh boy.
Well, there's a horror story a day mm-hmm. about the godless public schools. So exciting, in fact. I'm going to ask the one dad if he'd like to come on the show, because what an encouragement that would be to hear from this family where both mom and dad were public school teachers.
Yes.
And in fact, Dorothy's mom, now Dorothy passed away of cancer, a young gal. You know, the older I get, the mm-hmm. older young gets.
Mm-hmm.
So in January, I'll be 55. So Dorothy was young.
Huh? Well, she was in her 40s,
years younger than
right,
me.
Right.
I think so, yeah. So in her 40s. And Dorothy died of cancer. Just the tragic story. But she trusted the Lord, and she was so bold and radiant through her disease. Cheryl and I had gone out to spend a few days with her and her mom and her son Matthew last summer when she had been diagnosed with cancer. And she began to struggle with the disease, but we had some good days with her. And so now we went out for her memorial service. But what a blessing to see this family on fire for the Lord and all the young people. Leslie, these guys. Oh, I wish the memorial service would have been video.
Did you speak? Were you the preacher?
Well, there was everyone spoke.
Okay.
Literally, everybody spoke. And so I shared. In fact, I brought up my cell phone and I said, Cheryl and I yesterday preparing to come today, we went to a marina. This was at Seal Beach. And we parked the car right at the marina and we went on Google and it searched for who is Dorothy Neville. You know, she was in studio 6-7 years ago in this studio. Well, not this one. It's a brand new
yeah.
studio. But she was sitting where you're sitting, and we did an interview, and the show title was Who is Dorothy Neville? And so we listened to that, Cheryl and I, and then I played 2 minutes of that interview for the group.
Oh, fantastic.
So they heard Dorothy's voice
and
her commitment to the Lord. You know, and Cheryl pointed out, of all the memorial services we've gone to, you see, you know, thousands of photos, but normally you don't hear the person's voice. And it was very moving.
It was very moving. You're really getting me choked up.
Oh,
wow.
It was so powerful. Mm. And so to be able to share that with them and what the gospel means and why Jesus died for Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And Dorothy is, like Jesus said to John the Baptist, he's the greatest in the kingdom. Yet he sinned. And Dorothy sinned, of course. We all have sinned and fallen short. So Jesus died for us so that if we humble ourselves and trust in him, we could be saved and live forever with him and one another. And so what a message of joy and hope and celebration. But there was sorrow, and her son Matthew, of course, was, you know, tears because how much he'll miss his mom.
Oh, yes.
But how confident he is in her security with the Lord. And then to say that I want to live my life as a legacy to my mother's faith in Jesus Christ.
That's a wonderful son.
From a 21-year-old son, maybe, in front of all his cousins and aunts and uncles.
That's wonderful.
And friends. So very powerful.
And maybe they'll inspire more black families to homeschool.
I sure hope and pray, because that's desperately needed.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that they are. In fact, could I tell you this last story? There's so many stories that could be told from Dorothy's memorial. But as they were growing up, they begin homeschooling. Here is a kid living across the street, young black man, teenager. And Johnny Hodge sees him cleaning the gutters up on his grandmother's roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so Johnny goes over and says, "Who told you to do that?" And the kid said, "Nobody." And Johnny said, "Well, then why are you doing it?" And he said, "Well, it had to be done." And Johnny said, "I've never heard this. I've never heard anything like this. We need to be friends with you. Do you homeschool? You need to be homeschooled. Come on over." And the boy came over. His name is Jimmy. And Jimmy is now married with beautiful child, beautiful Christian wife. And Jimmy is on fire for the Lord.
Oh, isn't that neat?
And so there's so many testimonies, so many stories, and it's just a blessing to see on this
side. Well, I hope they're listening today.
Well, they very well may be. They're our dearest friends, thanks to, you know, Google, of all things.
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. So those are our two praise reports. Joe Scott, the restraining order was denied, and so Joe Scott has, you know, a clean slate in this regard, and that's so important. And then the Dorothy Neville, who is Dorothy Neville? She's a daughter of the King.
Oh, you'll have to play a little clip of that for the audience sometime soon.
Yeah,
again.
What a good idea. Yes. So, Leslie, okay, you just came back from Mississippi.
I did. I can't remember how many times I've been there. I think this might have been my fifth time.
Fifth time.
It's like my home away from home, the Baymont Hotel.
Yeah, right? And serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, and trying to save unborn children from being slaughtered.
That's right. The state of Mississippi is down to having only one facility that kills children.
It's that Pepto-Bismol.
It's Pepto-Pink.
It makes you sick to your stomach just looking. It's because of that pink, it just reminds you that everybody there is sick to their...
They're sick of child killing, I think.
It's sickening.
But they really, according to what we heard, are open maybe only 2 days a week. So,
and it's the last.
It's the last kill mill in Mississippi. And, you know, they have an ordinance that says they have to have hospital privileges to kill children, which...
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of absurd, but
yeah, it'd
anyway.
Be like being in Germany saying, if you want to gash Jewish children,
you have to have
an EPA certificate.
I know.
It's insane. We live in an insane world.
But anyway, so they, of course, can't find any local doctor to kill kids. So they have a circuit rider that comes in. His name's Bruce Norman. I forget what state he lives in. But anyway, he flies in a couple of days a week. And
this actually has been going on for decades. Like, I remember back in the late 80s going to Fargo, North Dakota. And their abortionist would drive in from out of state once a week, twice a month. And so that's not especially unusual.
No, it's very common, I think, really.
And partly because of the work you've done for decades and others, a number of our friends at Denver Bible Church, going to the abortionist homes to protest, including on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then normal human beings say, I don't want to start killing babies or doing abortions. Because these pro-lifers, they're going to come protest at my home on Christmas morning.
That's right.
And other holidays. Thanksgiving is coming up we got to go.
That's right? Right. Well, I might be out of town, but.
All right. Well, some of us will go.
That's right. Well, so, boy, you know, if people have not ever gone to an Operation Save America event, OSA is
astounding.
What we say. It's just so encouraging. And they have these States of Refuge outreaches because there's only 1 mil left in 5 states. And I believe it's Arkansas, Mississippi, the Dakotas, and Wyoming. Mm. So I've gone to Wyoming, Arkansas, and Mississippi numerous times. I haven't been to the Dakotas yet. But, you know, the thinking is that, you know, the more the truth is preached and people are educated about the infinite value of every human being in God's sight.
The infinite value.
Yeah, that people will get a clue and they'll stop killing kids. And I keep thinking that Phil Bryan, he's a godly Christian man, the governor of Mississippi, I just wish he would use the bully pulpit more and just say, we don't want to kill any more of our future citizens here. That it's just over,
yeah.
Folks.
Well, normally, I remember he wanted to run for governor and how strong he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen that. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you.
I know what you're going
to
say.
In the primary? I guess it is familiar. All right, let's just skip it. Let's number that one. Let's number that point number 17.
Well,
and so in the future, we'll just say 17. We could chuckle and move on. But yeah, there's one listener who hasn't heard this. In the primary, they're conservative, pro-life, Christian even.
Right.
In the general election, they move to the center, and they govern as liberals. And that's the way it's been.
Ken Buck comes to mind.
Yeah,
but
Ken,
he didn't get to govern yet.
He
but
didn't.
He's running
he
again.
He didn't get to be as liberal as he
yeah.
wanted to be. So, yeah, in the primary, they're conservative. In the general election, they're moderates. And when they win, they govern as liberals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is. They're as pro-life as could be. You know who else comes to mind? Kaufman here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was so committed to stopping abortion. He'd donate to personhood and all. And he's been in office for how long now?
Mm-hmm.
Federal office. Not a word.
Well, and, you know, when they press him now about what is he going to say about personhood this election cycle, I think he keeps saying he hasn't seen this bill, so he's not.
He can't find it.
Right.
He's been
sure
looking
he's
for
do.
It. He hasn't seen it.
Right.
What does he want to see, I wonder? What does
well,
he want to see?
Well, he hasn't heard about Brady, I guess, huh?
Anyway, yeah. So that's the norm, right? So this governor. But, hey, when they do find courage, the kind of courage it takes to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kind of courage it takes to not be, to not have history record you as a failure.
Mm.
When they find that kind of courage, then we celebrate with them.
Yeah.
We say, welcome aboard.
I don't think they're thinking about how history is going to judge them. They can't be.
Mm. They're thinking about getting elected and reelected.
Right, right.
And raising funds and Republican victories, and that's really enough. If you got to elect a Democrat to have a Republican victory, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Chris Christie or Mitt Romney or John McCain, so be it. As long as you have a Republican victory, it's a, what do they call it, a Pyrrhic victory? It's
mm-hmm,
a facade
because
you're just turning the Republican Party into the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people are stupid, so they're satisfied with that.
Well, if they're not satisfied, they need to go to an OSA event, Bob, because you've been, and they're just marvelous. The preaching,
yeah.
We have rallies every night. So I was there for 4 days. So I went to, I think I only made 3 of the rallies, and I understand on the first night, Rusty Thomas gave a barn burner.
Mm.
I wish I would have heard that, but we might be able to get that in the form of a YouTube. But anyway, the rallies are tremendous. Great music, great preaching.
Cal
and
then, Sastro.
Oh, and Cal. And Cal was going to be
Gallagher.
With us.
Flip Benham,
right? Uh-huh.
And hey, Leslie, could you tell me? I jotted down some. You blogged about the whole tour, and it was just great. But could you describe a couple of things, like the city of Pearl, Mississippi?
Yeah, we went
Pearl,
to,
Mississippi.
We like to do high school outreach in the mornings, and boy, Flip gets us out there 6:30 in the morning for prayer in the parking lot. And
70 of you.
Yeah, there were 70, and boy, how 70 committed, a little band of 70 Christians can rock a city. It's amazing,
right. The
stuff we did.
Right.
So anyway, the one morning, some of us went to Pearl, Mississippi to try to educate high school students about what abortion really is, and of course, we carry graphic signs. Well, we got kicked off the campus immediately, And so the school administration said, you know, go down the road. They had a really long entry lane, almost a half mile or maybe even a little more. So the kids carried their signs, their graphic signs, down that lane to the highway, and we crossed the highway and set up shop again. Well, then we get like 5 or 6 or 8 squad cars show up, and the chief of police.
Because you're exercising your God-given right to free speech.
Well, we thought we were
on public property.
Right. We were we were on a an easement, and we were trying to you know, educate the cars going by. And sad to say, the chief of police said that Pearl requires ordinance. No, I'm sorry. They have an ordinance that requires a permit anywhere in the city limits for you to exercise your right of free speech.
That's just too much. Huh? So if you're going to argue with your wife, quick, go get a permit.
Yeah.
Because you're going to. I mean, your right to free speech, it doesn't come from the First Amendment. It comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
The First Amendment is designed to
protect
help
it.
Enforce that right, but it's our God-given rights that we get from our Creator.
Absolutely.
And not when we're born. They're from our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from the moment we are created that we have these rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so the city of Pearl says you need a permit to stand on a street corner with a sign.
That's right.
That's hysterical.
So we are passing the ordinance on to higher authorities to see if this might be challenged at some time in the near future. And
well, yeah, because, you know, sometimes we have, I mean,
we have to pick our battles, of course.
Well, yeah, right.
This is important.
And sometimes we'll just go ahead and defy the ordinance because, like, the Apostle Paul would get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, don't preach in Jesus' name, like Peter. And he'd say, we must obey God rather than man.
Right.
And so they're basically saying, don't cry out against the slaughter of the innocent in our city unless we say you can. And we don't need their permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have God's command to do it. So we don't need their permission. So anyway, sometimes you challenge it and they arrest you. And then you have a case to take. But you don't need that. So we've got enough attorneys who are, you know, God-fearing men and women who want to help. And so they're looking at this, and they may decide that OSA would launch file a lawsuit against Pearl, Mississippi.
And Chet Gallagher, of course, was our team leader that morning, and he himself has been a police officer in the past.
In Las Vegas, no less.
In Nevada, right. And he couldn't have been more diplomatic, and I was really, really biting my tongue because I just was so wanting to say, you guys are got to be kidding. You're on thin ice here
America?
With this insane ordinance that you're proclaiming. But, so anyway, we didn't push our luck because we had to go back to the city of Jackson and set up shop for a memorial service that we were about to have around noon that day, and that was a fun event too.
Mm.
They had a memorial, and we've done these, you know, numerous places, but they'll have a processional with a little casket, and this was in memory of 60,000. They believe the figures are pretty approximately true, that 60,000 little Mississippi baby boys and girls since Roe, I suppose, have lost their lives because of abortion.
Mississippi was the first state to decriminalize abortion for rape.
And just before Colorado, right? Yeah, Cheryl, your dear sweet wife, is the research analyst that figured that out, right?
That's right. Yeah. She went to the law library there, I think, in Jackson.
No, we were down in southern Mississippi during the when it was 26 was on the ballot, personhood
measure. That's right. You guys were campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looked like that would have passed. That could have been the first to pass. Now we're going to be on the ballot in North Dakota in Colorado, you know, hopefully somewhere else in 2014. But it was looking like it could pass. And then who came out against the personhood bill but the Republican pro-life governor of the state?
Haley Barbour.
The Catholic bishops, the Concerned Women for America, the Focus on the Family affiliate, the National Right to Life state affiliate. So all the usual suspects, the old guard that really now has been exposed, came out against personhood.
Mm-hmm. That was such a disappointment.
And so even with all that, there was, you know, a huge group of people came out and said, we have to stop killing all children.
Mm-hmm.
And voted yes for personhood in Mississippi. But with the entire, you know, Leslie, do you remember hearing this? I do. Do you remember hearing that for a total ban on abortion, there's no way you're going to win. You're just going to get a small percent, maybe like 25-30%. Do you remember hearing that mm-hmm. over the years?
Mm-hmm.
So they discourage anyone who wanted to try to stop abortion.
Right.
And so when I heard that for 20 years, I didn't think that meant with the entire pro-life industry against us.
Yeah.
I thought that meant if we all advocated for a ban.
Right.
And it turns out we got, what, 42% of the voters of Mississippi to vote for a total ban on all abortion, the personhood of the unborn child, with the bishops and National Right to Life and Focus on the Family and the pro-life Republican governor, everybody against it.
Yeah.
CWA and Eagles Forum, the whole thing.
Yeah. Isn't
so
that crazy?
You'd think that with the American Family Association and the personhood movement, that was it, supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
We got 42% of the vote. You'd think that all those other groups combined should be able to put together 8%, and they would have passed personhood.
That's so frustrating, but yeah. It'll happen, Bob. It'll happen.
Yeah. We'll say welcome aboard. How about that Methodist college in that SAP? Sappy.
Millsap. Well, let me just tell you real quick
those
before I get to the Millsap
there.
Story.
Oh, yeah.
The processional got overrun with some anarchists. StopPatriarchy.org. Lady named Sun Sarah Taylor, who actually was part of the team that about 2007 at a Unitarian church, a pro-lifer drove in accidentally to their parking lot. And
yeah, I remember
all these
this.
Masked people, marauders, got up on his windshield and busted out
his windshield. I remember that event.
That group was called World Can't Wait. I think it's a George Soros front group. So anyway, this is a side group off of them, I believe, and it's abortion. No, it's stoppatriarchy.org. And
when you say anarchist, you're not using that as a figure of speech.
I'm
They're
pretty serious.
Anarchists.
They totally blasted into the memorial service with all this chanting about abortion on demand without apology and a fetus is not a baby and abortion is not murder and women are not.
Right. And blacks are not people and Jews are not people.
Yeah.
You dehumanize your enemy so that you can feel good about killing him.
Yeah,
that's
been very effective over the decades, hasn't it?
Right.
So Millsaps College, I know we're getting down to the wire here. But anyway, we went there, Methodist College. We took our signs, got kicked off the campus. And Flip Benham went to a Methodist seminary, and he was standing by a statue of John Wesley and was pretty irritated that they didn't even know their own history.
He graduated from a Methodist seminary. Yeah.
So we took our signs out front, and they set up shop with some huge speakers and gave them hellfire and brimstone for about 15 minutes. And
oh
my gosh, the students just lost their minds. So
because they believe in free speech, tolerance, diversity, the beautiful people.
Right.
Yeah.
So come to an OSA event sometime, folks. It is just the best.
And in the meantime, join Leslie and a number of us at Joe Scott's trial December 9th and at the Abortion Mill right here in Denver.
Check out the Passionate Pro-Lifer if you want to read the blog post about this
Just
event.
Google
we didn't get to all of it.
Pro-Lifer Leslie Hanks will be right there.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Cal and the whole crew. Flip Benham. God bless you guys. KGov.com.